then my thought this morning by a paraphrase of a book I read several years ago called Eating the Sun by an English science writer named Oliver Morton. It's a book essentially about photosynthesis. Don't ask me why I read this book. I don't really understand it. But I'm going to give you my best shot of how he introduced this wonderful subject. He said, "This is what happened today. This is what really happened today. The sun rose over the Pacific Ocean, where the dateline is and the day begins. It fell on millions upon billions of waves. The light, some of it was reflected into the sky. Some of it was absorbed into the upper surface of the water by the little creatures that live in that water. It reached the polar north and swept over the tundra. It eventually struck the mountains of New Zealand, the rice paddies of the Philippines, and gradually moved across Asia, the forests of Siberia, around the world. Everywhere that a light shone on something green that was natural, something very amazing happened. This green is chlorophyll, and it exists in these living plants as little pools that take the energy of the light, a little water, and a little carbon dioxide, and it turns it into something living, living stuff. This is the very first and indispensable step in this chain of life that includes you and me. Without it, there would be no life on this earth. In the process of taking light, water, and carbon dioxide and turning it into something alive, it gives off a little bit of oxygen into the air. This living stuff that is created in this process called photosynthesis turns into green leaves, turns into wood. You and I eat some of these leaves. We eat some of the animals that eat these leaves. We live in structures made of this material. We burn it to heat our homes. We use it to drive our cars, to create the electricity that we live by. It literally powers our life. In the course of using this energy that is created in these green leaves, we give off, the course of consuming it, burning it, we give off carbon dioxide back into the system. So it's two systems working, and they more or less balance each other. Morton says that in the summer months in the northern hemisphere, where the majority of the land and therefore the green on the planet exists, photosynthesis adds a little more oxygen to the air than is used up. In the winter, carbon dioxide increases and the oxygen is used up. He said, "This is our planet breathing in and out on a yearly breath cycle." I love that beautiful image. Last week was Pentecost. The gospel reading from last week pictured Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he died, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When Pentecost came, the disciples gathered in the upper room said they heard the sound of a rushing wind, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Another version of that phrase would be hard breathing. The word for spirit in Scripture, both in Hebrew and in Greek, is the same word for air, for wind, for breath. It's not an accident that this process that I described of where we get our air from is used by Jesus, by God, to describe these things that we remember as Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Let's try an experiment. I want everybody to sit up tall. And take a deep breath in and hold it. Now, without letting that breath out, take another deep breath in. And another. And another. Okay. You can breathe. What you just experienced is my sermon. That's really it. If you want more air, you have to breathe out to get more air in. If you want more spirit from God, you've got to breathe it out to get more in. You've got to give something from your heart out to get more of God in. Another word for this is you have to love. Just doesn't get any simpler than that. That brings us to today's gospel reading, in which one word jumped out at me. Jesus has appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, and he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples." That one simple word, go, is breathing out. It is the same thing. Just 3 years earlier, Jesus said to these same men that he found walking by the Sea of Galilee, he said, "Come, come in. Come to me, follow me. Come into a relationship with me." He's breathing, they're breathing in, they're receiving. And now Jesus has turned, after that long, wonderful period of coming in, he is saying to them, go. Get. Shoo. Vamoose. Or as my wife would say, go on with your bad self. So there is something for us dads in this sermon. Go. You've heard that before, I imagine. Get out of the house and do something. I think that more or less is what Jesus was saying to these disciples. Get out of the house and do something. This image recurs over and over again in Scripture. Think of Jesus meeting the woman at the well, and he says to her, "This water that I have to give to you, when you drink it, will become a wellspring of living water out of you that springs into eternal life." If you're feeling spiritually flat, if church is not feeding you, if personal devotions have dried up for you, and this happens inevitably in all of our lives, the problem may be that you're not breathing out. It's not that there's not something that you want to breathe in, there's just simply no room. Jesus said, go. And boy, did those early disciples go. They spread through the whole Roman Empire. They turned it on its head, literally, in 3 short centuries. This was a group of people no bigger than the number of people sitting in this room. What does go mean? I don't know what it means for you. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what it means for me. Most of us will not go to the far reaches of the world to make disciples. Most of us will just simply go out of our house to our jobs, to the markets, to whatever other things that we do, and back. For me, going out means getting out of my comfort zone a little bit more. It means becoming aware of people that I meet in casual ways. It means noticing the person waiting on me in a restaurant or helping me in a store. It means when I am in a line of traffic and somebody is trying to get in, stopping and just letting that person in. It also means noticing these little persistent thoughts of what sort of bothers me, what agitates me, what catches my attention. And all of you know that a year or so ago, I started stopping and speaking to panhandlers. I really do not have an innate love for the homeless or for these people that are begging on the street. I was kind of irritated by it. I was bothered by it. I was bothered that I was bothered by it. And finally, I realized, I've just got to do something about this. And I stopped and talked to them and gave them a small bag of food. And one thing led to another, to another. And it has become a wonderful, joyful practice for me. One that I am far from consistent with. What go means to you, I cannot begin to say. It will begin with one tiny step, but it puts you on a path that will lead to other steps and other steps and other steps. And God alone knows where that will lead and what will come of it. The only way you will find out is take that first little step. Go. Get out of the house. Do something. Breathe out what God has breathed into you. This is not hard. This is not scary, maybe a little bit. This becomes the most wonderful, joyful adventure that I've ever been on. I believe it will be the same for you. Many of you are well down this path ahead of me, and I am trying to catch up. I marvel at how many people in this parish are doing exactly what I'm talking about. One of the great mysteries of our faith, to me, is this well-known, beloved phrase, verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He placed Himself in the world. God so loved the world that He wanted to do something about this crazy, broken, dangerous, often violent, suffering world that we live in. God so loved the world that He did not establish a good government. He did not end world hunger. He did not institute an economy that was both fair, abundant, and sustainable. He did not do any of those things to solve any of the problems that we see every day on the front page of our newspapers. What God did was became a man, and He gathered a handful of people around Him. This man did, Jesus. And He poured His life into them. And at the end of His life, He said, go, do the same thing. That's it. He left no institutions. He left no structures. He left no government. He left literally the number of people that exist in this room. And He said, go. That was God's remedy for this world. When I look at the newspaper, I am completely undone by the Middle East. I could not begin to tell you what to do about that. I am undone by world hunger. I can't even get the weeds out of my own garden. much less solve world hunger. But here's what I do know how to do. I do know how to be a friend. I do know how to be fair. I do know how to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and be specific about the needs that I see. I know how to talk to people and listen to people. And I know how to make furniture that doesn't fall apart. What do you know how to do? You know how to be a friend. I've witnessed it. You know how to be fair. You know how to pray and care for people and listen and understand. And some of you know how to build buildings. Some of you know how to teach children. Some of you know how to cool buildings and keep machines running. Some of you know how to raise children. That's it. Use those things. Let the light of the gospel that falls into your heart photosynthesize in you and turn into something of substance that God can build the kingdom on and make his kingdom come to earth and solve these big problems. It mystifies me, but that seems to me to be the way God has set it up to address the needs of this world. He simply invested himself in a handful of people and breathed into them his own spirit. And in the end, he fed them with his own body and blood. And they were changed. And they found a new quality of life that they spread. And we're the beneficiaries of it. That's my sermon. I'd like to close with a prayer. It's found on page 383. If you would like to join me, feel free to pray out loud. And if not, just listen. This prayer is attributed to St. Francis. "Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned, in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen."
Filled with God's love and the breath of life, let us stand as we join together and reaffirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found in your service leaflet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. For him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People are Form 1, found on page 383 of the Book of Common Prayer. With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.